There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Tuesday edition of College Football Live. Matt Schick along with two guys. We're going to get to reacquainted with each other very well over the next 22 minutes. Joey Galloway and Trevor Maddich. The college football season, guys, just 1 month away. So it only makes sense to begin the show by talking about a college football game that is 13 months away. UCF recently announcing a home-and-home series with Florida International. They will make the trip next year. Which begs the question, UCF not going to do two-for-ones with Power Fives, but will do a one-for-one with a Conference USA team. Athletic Director Danny White responding to criticism on Twitter, saying, "We have been very clear about our scheduling philosophy. We don't believe in inequitable scheduling. Our program has accomplished far too much to have to do that." Trevor, start with you. Do you have an issue with UCF's scheduling philosophy?
I do. UCF is upset that they're not being considered for the playoff. They can't be considered for the playoff unless they up their strength of schedule in their non-conference. And here they've got an opportunity. Is it ideal? No. Instead of one for one, it's two for one. But it's an opportunity for three games against the University of Florida going forward, and they said no. So I think that because they said no, they should not complain about not getting consideration from the committee. That's all.
I'm a little worried that Trev's going to bump me off this screen here in a second when you guys get him going like this, Matt Schick. Because when he's hitting, I can feel this whole set vibrating. Now, here the truth is, I don't have a problem with what UCF believes in and what Danny White is doing. I don't have a problem with that. Also, he can't have a problem with not making to the playoff. And so the committee has been clear about this. They don't respect their schedule. So at the end of the season, they don't get where UCF wants to go. And so you can't do both. If they're telling you for years now, not just last year, not just the year before, the committee is saying to you, we need to see you play better teams. And so you can be stubborn, you can be set in your ways, and that's fine. And the committee will sit back and do their job the same way they've been doing it. At the end of the season, we'll be having the same conversation about UCF. Who did they play? Can they get in with this schedule? And if he wants to be stubborn, that's his choice, but he knows the results.
But Joey, that seems a bit incongruent, right? But I've got a lot of respect for Danny White. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And let's look at it from an outside-the-box perspective. Let's say that he is turning down the two-for-ones, complaining, et cetera, like he's doing, because what he really wants is to position his team best for being the highest-ranked Group of Five champion, which gets them into the New Year's Six, which is a very lofty achievement. And they still are a national conversation when it comes to the playoff, without having to play the likes of Florida and people like that. So it seems like he's having his cake and eating it too, if that really is what he's trying to do.
Yeah, the cynical part of me says, what's the point on giving away a home game when you're likely not going to make the playoff anyway under this current four-team structure? So maybe Danny White is subscribing to that theory as well. Alabama scheduled the slightly more high-profile home-at-home yesterday. They're going to make the trip, get this, up north to Wisconsin in 2024 and host the Badgers in 2025. The teams last met 4 years ago to kick off the season in Arlington. It'll be just the fourth time an SEC team has played at Camp Randall. Here's Nick Saban recently.
I think the culture of college football would benefit if we said Power Five teams have to play all Power Five teams. I've been an advocate of this for several years. I've been an advocate of play more SEC games. Well, I think you should do it like basketball. They have RPI or whatever it's called in basketball that says these are the teams that played the best schedule and won the biggest games. All right, so that's how you qualify for a bowl game, not how many games you win. So that it would be better for fans, it would be better for fan interest. So we've tried to schedule two opponents, Power Five opponents, every year. We have one time in the next 10 years where we've succeeded at doing that. So unless we change the culture of how we all agree to schedule, I don't think that's going to happen.
Now they got trips to Austin, Texas coming up in the coming years, as well as Notre Dame. So obviously Alabama trying to increase their strength of schedule, at least on the road. But Joey, do you agree with Nick Saban that it's time to overhaul non-conference scheduling for the Power Fives?
Personally, I love seeing these games. I think it's great. We had a chance to talk to Jimbo Fisher at SEC Media Days, and he brought up the fact because they have Lamar on their schedule and a couple other not Division I teams. So what do those schools do? Because they get paid $1 million to come play those games, and to their budget, it matters. Doesn't matter Alabama. They have plenty of money rolling in. Doesn't matter to an Ohio State, a Clemson, those kind of schools. But the schools that are scheduling an Alabama, they come and they get $1 million to play, and it matters to their budget. How do you fix that problem? If you cut them out of that system, how do they make up that money on the back end? I love the fact that Alabama's playing Wisconsin, but I also understand the fact that these smaller schools need that money.
Yeah, there's always a cost, Joey. I mean, for Alabama fans, well, they don't want to see the lesser games. That's fine. But beyond just the money, there's lesser teams in the Power Five that need to schedule wins in order to get program momentum, get to a bowl game, get the extra 2 weeks of practice during bowl week, right? Yeah. And the ability to be able to get that kind of momentum a lot of times starts with scheduling non-conference teams that you can definitely beat. And I've got no problems with teams that are in that situation scheduling that way. Now, if you're Alabama, okay, don't. If you're a team that wants to a tougher strength of schedule to impress the committee, that's already factored in the way the committee looks at their evaluations. But I think it would be unfair for the top teams to say, hey, let's all the top teams schedule tough and then leave the teams in the middle and at the bottom that are trying to claw their way up in a lesser ability to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
It is very easy when you are at the king of the mountain to go, you know what, we should all play tough teams. We got to all play tough teams. And everyone who's trying to, like you said, build their programs up to a certain level, if they do that, they're certainly sacrificing some wins, maybe sacrificing bowl eligibility. Again, we got some good non-conference games, Power 5 non-conference games coming up this season. You see Duke and Alabama and Atlanta, Oregon, Auburn, Texas A&M, Clemson, LSU going to Texas. You see there in week zero, Miami and Florida. And because they're playing a week early, they get to practice a week early. Florida with its first full padded practice today, looking to take that next step. Florida is with their team and their quarterback, Felipe Franks. Here's the head coach, Dan Mullen.
I think for him, the combination one, he's a little more experienced in the system. So he's a little more confident knowing what he's doing. Been through a season, so kind of know what to expect moving forward and how to improve yourself. And it helps, I think, having a veteran receiver group because they can help, you know, it's not just, hey, the quarterback has to lead them. You know, so it's not all just Felipe having to kind of, hey, let's go, let's lead. Those guys want to do that too, and they understand how to work. So I think that all helps. And it certainly helps the quarterback of learning how to be that guy when you have all the assistance of the other guys that want to do it.
All right, Trevor, how realistic is it for Florida to challenge Georgia in the SEC East?
Very realistic. I think Florida on paper right now has a defense that I'd rather have than Georgia's on paper coming into the season. But really, it comes down to Felipe Franks. Because when I go to visit Florida in the offseason, Joey, and I know you have a lot of conversations with people as well. In past years, the way they have talked to me on background about Franks is that he's got championship-level arm talent, but his leadership, his temperament is not championship-level yet. This year when I went down, all they could talk about was how he has elevated his game, how his teammates are responding to him now as a leader, how the craft of quarterbacking has flipped a switch for him. And if he's able to get that mental side and emotional side onto the field to match his arm talent, Florida is a very real threat to Georgia in the East.
Florida needs to be able to run the football. P. Ryan's back there leading rusher. And it takes a lot of pressure off of Franks. He completed less than 60% of his passes. That number has to go up if they're going to beat a Georgia football team. Florida's schedule in October gets kind of rough. They got Auburn, they got LSU, they got South Carolina, which, you know, when you talk to Muschamp, this is the best South Carolina team that he's had because now he's been there 4 years and these are his kids. And then they have Georgia. And so because of that order, it is going to be tough for Florida to navigate the month of October. But they're talented enough, especially on the defensive end, to do it. Felipe Franks has to have a good running game to take a lot of pressure off of him to make the plays it's going to take to get through that month.
And we'll know early, Joey, because that Miami defense will probably be the most disruptive defense that Florida will face in the regular season. We'll know a lot about Franks right off the bat.
Yeah, if not then later, about 5 weeks later when they have to take on Auburn. The last memory we had of Florida was trending in the right direction last season when they went in the bowl game and pounded Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines. All right, coming up next, Trevor Maddich loaded up the vehicle and toured the college football landscape. Yes. Alabama, Oklahoma. Yeah, the Sooners breaking in a new defensive coordinator. Get the thoughts from Trevor. Oh, no, he won't be wearing that anytime soon again. Remember Uncle Travelin' Matt on Fraggle Rock? Let us introduce to you Uncle Travelin' Trevor. Piling into his car, taking a tour of college football, Bama, Oklahoma, Oregon, among these stops on his 16-campus tour, more than 14,000 miles. That is a lot of restroom stuff and a lot of Old Stale convenience store hot dogs. I appreciate you stopping at my alma mater, Trevor. Colorado really warms the heart. One of the stops was in Norman. Here's a look at OU.
You're securing the tackle. You guys are coming in to rip that ball, right? How do you do it? What do you do? So I'm worried about Neville now because he's got me wrapped up and he's going to hurt me. Here you guys come. I think I'm secure. What do you do?
One of my favorite things to do, I kind of want to try to break your arm, so.
Okay, now why are you grabbing me there?
A lot of guys, they think about, like, just getting at the ball. I want to take your arm right here,
yeah. And
I just want to pull it back like that.
Ooh.
So that ball, pull your fingers out, that ball come out.
So if I'm fighting the fingers here, now I'm vulnerable for the next guy.
Right. A lot of times if you're getting hit, you will loosen up your grip. Mm-hmm. And so if you punch under, it's just going to pop right out.
That guy's got hands. If you can get a hold of me here, now I'm at the weakest spot of my whole body. That is evil. That's flat out evil.
Check out the whole story featuring Trevor and Oklahoma's defense this Saturday morning on SportsCenter. Our Football Power Index has Oklahoma as the overwhelming favorite to win the league. 70% of the time, they win the Big 12 every time. Texas, an 8% chance. Trevor, start with you. Is Oklahoma, in your mind, the overwhelming favorite to win the league?
I think they are, and I think it's for two reasons. The defense will be a lot better with new coordinator Alex Grinch, and that's what we were doing with the guys out there, talking about some of the techniques that Coach Grinch is teaching them. Really, the offense for Oklahoma lit up Georgia and Alabama in the playoffs the last couple of years, but their defense was heinous. And if the defense improves from heinous to decent, they've got a chance to get past that semi into the final.
That was a great clip you had there, Trev. The only problem is when I watch Oklahoma's defense, they never bring two or three people to the ball. So there's not an extra guy there to strip the ball while somebody's rapping. And so that was the best defense I'd seen Oklahoma play in the past couple of years was in that little clip that you showed. I'm just being honest. Yeah. And they switched defense coordinators last year, and they were supposed to get better, and they didn't. So I need to see it before I believe it. A team that I would be worried about in the Big 12 and a team that I would think has a legitimate chance to win the Big 12 is Texas. Tom Herman's done a nice job of recruiting. I talked to Tom Luganville earlier. He said they recruited very well on the defensive side. And anytime we talk Big 12 football, it is who can get a couple stops. Ellinger would be in the Heisman Trophy conversation with the numbers he has. 41 touchdowns, 16 of those rushing. I think he's a great quarterback and has some talent coming back. I would worry about Texas.
I think Texas has a lot of good things happening, but like you want to see Oklahoma's defense before you believe in them, I want to see Texas replace their entire defensive line basically before I believe that they're ready to step up and win it. Ellinger, Joey, this guy last year had maybe the best season of a quarterback that nobody paid attention to.
Absolutely.
Over the last 20 years, there's only been six quarterbacks that have rushed for 15 touchdowns or more and thrown for 25 or more.
I knew you had a stat.
Five of the six won the Heisman.
I knew you had a stat.
And the sixth was Ellinger last year.
I'm telling you, Texas is replacing a lot on the defensive side. Sometimes, Trev, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
It wasn't like it was an outstanding defense that lost a lot of pieces. I think it's in a defense, and they're in a position where if they recruit well, which they have, they would like to replace a lot of those guys. And I think they're a team that can come out and challenge Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts is going to be scary in his Oklahoma offense. But Ellinger on the other side making plays, Texas has a shot.
Well, here's what I like best about Jalen Hurts. Should he win the job? And it's still in competition. But I like it that the...
What's the competition? Let's be honest.
Tanner Mordecai is a good player. And Spencer Rattler, five-star.
Jalen Hurts doesn't go to Oklahoma unless he's going to
be the
starting
quarterback. Thank you, Joey.
Well, I agree with you that I think he'll win. But here's the thing. In the last couple of years, Heisman Trophy, Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy, Kenneth Murray, both had spectacular running highlights, but most of those were on the move. Mm-hmm. I think with Jalen Hurts, they've got the ability to have more called quarterback runs, zone reads, read options, quarterback powers, that will allow them to grind out more longer drives instead of long pass touchdowns and allow the defense to sit on the sideline more. And I think Jalen Hurts at quarterback will make the defense better because of that.
Good luck to you with that defense. I just want to see him bring more than two or three guys to the ball so somebody can strip
guys,
it like you did.
We need to put something on this because I think they're going to surprise you this year.
Since the start of the 2015 season.
They were that bad.
All right. We have a delay here, and I'm talking all over you guys. Sorry to break up your conversation. But since the start of the 2015 season, Oklahoma, on average, has had the highest scoring offense. In that same span, they've had the 73rd best scoring defense, giving up 28 points a game. That has to change. Texas' last Big 12 title, by the way, 10 years ago. That's pretty hard to believe. By the way, if it's not Oklahoma or it's not Texas, who is it?
I think people are talking about TCU, and they should. I mean, last year they were on their fourth quarterback. They were on their last scholarship running back. They had a whole new offensive line last year, and then they got hurt, most of them. And they're really good at bouncing back after seasons like they had last year. But really, Iowa State, with Brock Purdy in his sophomore year at quarterback, with all five offensive linemen coming back, bringing back the second-ranked defense in the Big 12 last year, I think either one of those teams are going
to
be a threat.
I couldn't hear a word that Schick said because
you don't
difficulties
say.
In my ear. But I'm going to guess that we're talking who else could it be? Yes. And I like Purdy. I mean, yeah. He's a gunslinger. He made some freshman mistakes that I think they will clean up. He'll be really good. And if there is a team in the Big 12 when you feel comfortable talking about their defense, it's Iowa State. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, they'll be in it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they were number two last year. TCU, by the way, with all their injuries, still had the number one defense in the Big 12.
If Chick says anything, I need you to let me know because I can't hear a thing in my ear.
No, I can't hear him either, but he looks good.
That's great. Joey, I know you said you couldn't hear anything I said. No one could tell. I thought that was pretty flawless television on our part here on College Football Live. Coming up next, we'll wrap it up here with more great TV, award-winning. He's arguably the most interesting man in the college football world. Les Miles making things pretty interesting in Kansas. We'll have a sneak peek of the all-access series of the Mad Hatter. And a reminder, ACC Network coming August 22nd. Visit getaccn.com. Check availability. In celebration of the NFL's 100th season, Peyton Manning takes you on a unique and humorous journey of football's history and cultural impact through conversations with former players, coaches, and other key figures. 30 episodes of Peyton's Places, only available on ESPN+. Also coming soon on ESPN+, Miles to Go, featuring Les Miles. Here's a sneak peek.
We're the worst team in college football.
So many things have happened in just a few short days.
Today has not been an easy day for anyone associated with KU football.
Jeff Long fired his coach.
Our search is already underway.
Where am I? Just at the beginning.
All part of a coaching search that nobody's seen before.
You're going to hear speculation. You're going to hear that I'm meeting with so-and-so. Don't believe that stuff.
You and I are in contact, okay? You know, by the way, I'm a vegetarian.
I have to go through him to get to talk to his client, then his client must not be very interested.
Coach, are we still considering my offer?
Hey, Long, I'm coming. Hey, listen to me. I need a real freaking whistle, not just fake-ass high.
We're going to do things that have not been done here before.
Did they get it right? Yeah, that's $1 million question, right?
They got this whole thing on camera.
Okay, we're gonna have some fun, Les.
We are gonna have some fun.
We're gonna win. That's what's gonna be fun.
Miles to Go debuts on ESPN Plus with the first four episodes on Thursday, August 22nd. You get ESPN Plus at ESPNplus.com. Matt Schick, Joey Galloway, Trevor Maddich here, putting the final touches here on this Tuesday edition of College Football Live. Joey, it was last year. Kansas got off that 2-1 start, and you were riding shotgun on that KU bandwagon. Are you ready to do it again?
They were creating turnovers. I mean, that Kansas team, they were playing with some confidence. They got on a streak. They won two in a row. I thought they could pull it off. They did better than my Baylor pick did a couple years back. They didn't win a game at all, so I like the Jayhawks.
Why are you wearing your dress shirt under that jersey, by the way?
Some of us were working all day, Trev. I had to just switch out right on the spot.
Tomorrow we're going to have a deep dive on Clemson, Alabama, where Kansas hopes to one day go. That was an awkward segue there. Look, the last 4 years, we might have round five again. We'll have a deep dive on the numbers coming up tomorrow. Trevor, you visited both of these programs. What stood out to you about Clemson and Alabama?
It stood out that they both have a very similar problems to get back to the championship game from a standpoint of building their roster. Both have to reload on defense. Both return a combination of quarterback and skill players, receivers, running backs, et cetera, that are in the top two or three in the nation. And whichever can really make more explosive plays on offense will probably be the team that has the edge. Now, Clemson has an easier conference path than Alabama does to get back there. So Bama's going to have to put it together faster than the Tigers.
And once again, Alabama's reloading in their coaching staff. And that is different when you talk about this Clemson team. Venables has been the defense coordinator, I think, 8 years now. Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator, has been there for multiple years now. And so they have continuity in their coaching staff. You talk to those guys who were there in the spring, and the coaches are excited to be at Clemson. You go to Alabama, and it's every single year. Coaches are leaving to take head coaching jobs somewhere else. So not only is Alabama reloading defensively, they're reloading coaching staff, which they've been very good at doing.
Yeah, they've got a machine there. Matter of fact, there was a guy in a clothing store told me this offseason, he said, the difference is Nick Saban runs a machine. Dabo Swinney runs a family. And I think there's a lot of machine at Clemson and a lot of family at Alabama. But I think that machine that Saban has built rolls on with the changes.
Were you buying black shirts at the clothing store?
This exact shirt right here. Gotcha.
The past four seasons, by the way, 22 coaching changes for Bama, 2 for Clemson. More on Trevor's attire, 4:30 Eastern tomorrow.